Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half-price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Benders, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down.
Stick around. Make a sound, come down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population U.
Oh, this one, I've been looking forward to this one, Rand, because we don't get to see this guy that much.
I found out he was on the left coast. He's mostly on the east coast.
You reached to him. He's busy because he has a new special on Netflix that is hilarious.
Jay and I spent the morning watching it and cracking up and loving it and just loving the new direction of it. We'll get into all that later. Judah Friedlander joins us. What's up, buddy?
I'm here with yes, smart people.
Yeah, it's so good
it's
to have you.
It's great to see you guys.
You
reached out to me, and that was like,
it's perfect.
And it always just makes me smile, man. It was great, and I'm glad this worked out.
I love that awesome. We got together and hung out big time at the Moon Tower Comedy Festival
a
couple years ago.
You guys were so damn funny on that.
The ping pong special where
for people who don't know, it's like you guys host this ping pong tournament of
and commentate
of
like,
mostly horrendous ping pong players.
Yes, yes.
And you commentate the whole time, and then after a match, you only interview the loser.
Yeah, that's right. That was
which
a conscious choice.
One of the brilliant things. Like, you never interview the winner.
As a result, you never got interviewed because you won the damn tournament.
Exactly.
You were amazing.
Exactly.
I was just amazed because I'm like, here's this guy that we know and love.
Great. I mean, we go all the way back to when we started in stand-up.
He just pulled out a ping pong paddle and a couple of balls. I know you travel with it.
Yeah. We know from the beginning of our stand-up careers, we kind of started around the same time. You were maybe a year ahead of us.
I'm older than you guys. So.
But not by much. We're about to turn 46.
Okay, I'm 48.
Okay, so we're about in the same range.
But you started maybe a year or two before us.
I started in 89.
Okay, so a few more years. In New York?
Yeah.
In 89?
Yeah.
All right. You were there a few years before we were. But like what I remember is I remember being in your van, listening to Whitesnake, driving around, getting to shows in 95, 96.
Yep.
97, zipping around Manhattan, starting out together, rising up together, doing our stuff. And then I remember having you come to Cheap Seats.
So funny.
Where you played characters on that show. I loved you in Wet Hot American Summer. You were so great in the original movie. You had a brilliant role in that. Everything you've done, we've been fans of. I've always
30 Rock.
30 Rock.
Anyone?
Come on, 30 Rock. I've always loved your stand up.
To then watch you just destroy people on the ping pong table was like, holy shit, I can't believe he has another skill outside of comedy that he's so good at. I was blown away.
And then to read your book. If the Raindrops
United.
If the Raindrops United, that amazing book of cartoons.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
And drawings, that was fantastic. And then to now come to this stand-up special, which I think is the culmination of all the comedy stand-up work you've done to this point. You cultivated a brilliant character, the world champion. You've now sort of expanded that and applied it to America as you're repping this country in a Stephen Colbert-esque kind of way.
Championing all the shitty things about America.
Is that right?
Well, we're number one in every category.
Yes.
You don't want to be number one in a bunch of them.
Yeah, exactly. But we're number one. Well, that's why it's called America's the greatest country in the United States, because which is one of the jokes from my act.
So
basically, the world champion kind of started out initially, I don't know, 15 or more years ago as being this sort of idiot kind of bragging kind of guy.
Yeah.
And then it started morphing into, these amazing athletic achievements he's talking about, these aren't brags. This is real.
Right.
Like the world champion became kind of like real, this real life superhero. And then things, about 7 or 8 years ago, I started doing shows in Europe. And ever in a bad relationship, you might not be able to see it, but your friends can see it.
Yeah.
They're like, why are you with that person? They're horrible to you.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, they're great.
Yeah.
And then a couple years later, you're out of it. Then you can look back and be like, oh, wow.
Yeah. I see what they were saying.
I was a moron.
Yeah, yeah.
So initially when I started going to England to do shows, I figured, I'm going to be learning more about England. And I did. But what I really started learning more was about my own country.
Sure.
So you can get some perspective and see it from a distance.
Totally. Hell yes.
And I've always, when I first started, I used to do a lot of political jokes when I first started.
Yeah.
And then I stopped for years. And then, so I just started talking about and just satirizing the big issues. Because one thing I noticed about this country is, And there's another line from my act is, it's like, you know, we're so confident. We're, we like everything, and it's like a propaganda we're fed from the Democrats and the Republicans that this is the greatest country in the history of the world.
Yeah. Right. That we have no problems, no issues.
Yeah, yeah. Or even if we do, it's someone else's fault that's some kind of a weird glitch.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be our fault.
Right.
Our fault. You know, like our country
is the greatest.
We're good at we're good at looking out the window. We're not good at looking in the mirror.
Hell no.
You know,
great point. Such a good lead into this show.
That's kind of what I satirize in the act, is talking about how we're the greatest, but Art, if you really look at what I'm saying, you know, like sometimes I'm making fun of other countries, but I'm really kind of saying, hey, look at our country.
It's so unique. I know you made this on your own. It's shot completely at the Comedy Cellar over different nights, shot black and white. It's part stand-up special, part press conference almost.
Yeah, it's all.
Does it feel like that?
I run a lot of my act as sort of like a mock town hall.
Right.
Where
I love that you use that terminology.
Yeah.
Because that's when we do live versions of this show, we call them dumb people town halls.
Okay, great. Yeah. So
this is why you are perfectly suited for this show. We'll talk more about the special because there's some things I want to talk about in it later. But like, I want to jump into a story right away because the world is getting dumber as we speak. As we sit here today, in the time it took you to describe that, it's gotten dumber. It's like the ocean is rising, the temperature is rising, the world's getting dumber. Our only way to combat it is through comedy.
That's
your special, this show. So we get stories sent to us by our dumb ears on the ground. They're amazing. Yeah. Dan gets stories. We don't
never
know
heard
the stories.
No.
Okay. We're with you, Judah. Okay. We've never heard it.
I love it.
So we're going to now go into it. Let's get into one. Let's do it.
This was sent by Nick Howell, at Nick Howell is.
Okay.
Cool.
N-I-C-K-H-O-W-E-L-L-I-S. Thanks, Nick. Nice. I'm going to read you the headline.
Yes.
So you know where we're going.
I love it.
Miami politician says aliens took her on a spaceship.
Okay.
All right.
This is Miami. This is an elected official, Judah.
Right.
Valid statement.
Sure. Why not?
Immediately you're believing.
I'm in.
Well, Judah is
always
not questioning.
Always trust your authority.
Right? Always trust those in charge.
Florida.
Maybe she said alien. Maybe she's talking about alien Gonzalez took her in. Like, maybe she didn't say alien, but it was hard for people to understand.
Sure. It's another Cuba conflict.
America took him in. Now he's taking her in. Why is that a problem?
Florida has a U.S. senator who once flew aboard the space shuttle. But a congressional candidate from Miami can go one better. Bettina Rodriguez Aguirre.
Okay.
Aguirre. Says she's been aboard a spaceship too, but this one was crewed by aliens, as in extraterrestrials.
No way.
Okay, if that happened to you, even if it happened to you, you have to know that bringing it up is definitely going to put you into a category. Correct?
Yes. Right.
Yes. Well, it's one thing to claim to have seen...
A UFO.
Right, which is a great joke in your act.
You've never seen a UFO.
Yeah, yeah. No, I joke in my act because I asked anyone, like, has anyone ever seen a UFO? And I say, really, I have never seen a UFO because I've always been able to correctly identify the alien spacecraft that I've come across.
Yeah!
So that's the difference between me and other people.
That is.
So,
you're the best.
It's one thing to see a UFO.
Yeah.
And it's another thing to say
you
were actually on the ship,
right.
And that you had the mental capacity to realize you were being abducted,
right. Sure,
and remember.
And remember,
they didn't. Of course, they didn't erase your memory.
No,
they wanted you to be able to
come back and talk about it in the campaign.
Three blonde, big-bodied beings. Two females.
So they have hair.
And one male visited her when she was 7 years old and have communicated telepathically with her several times in her life. This is a commentary. It's one thing that she thinks, I'll tell people this. Mm-hmm. It's another that she's confident that the people are going to be like, yeah, cool.
Yeah. You know, does she talk more about what they look like or no?
Big-bodied, blonde
because,
beings.
You know, there are some, I wonder if it's... You know, one time I was working in Florida, and I was talking to the waitress there. And there's a restaurant I went to a few times. I was filming like a little indie movie down there, so I was down there for a month. And the conversations were always normal, you know, friendly, but just normal.
Sure.
And then at one point, she was like reading a book. And I'm like, what's the book? And it was a book about
alien abduction.
How many of the people in this planet are actually aliens. And they have lizard skin underneath, but on the outside,
human skin.
There are these very like muscular, big, blonde, long-haired men and tall, blonde women with, you know, great big features and strong features. It's almost like the guys look like Fabio and, and the women look like, you know, Charlize Theron. So, maybe this is...
this could be on that.
I love that Judah just gave a context.
Yeah,
for this,
you know, you just basically gave her credence to what she was saying.
Why not?
Or I'm saying she's a hack. She's a hack.
And she read this book.
She read this book and just spewing it out.
Come on.
Bettina, 59 years old, a Republican who is running to replace retiring Miami Republican rep, recounted her experience with the extraterrestrials during a 2009 television
interview. Because they hate aliens.
She described going up inside the spaceship. Though whether it went into space or just hovered around town was left unclear.
Let me tell you, they hate illegal aliens.
That's right, exactly. I went in. There were some round seats that were there and some quartz rocks that controlled the ship.
She is a hack.
This is my favorite
part. Round seats? Come on. She goes, not like Woody Allen's sleeper?
She goes, not like airplanes.
She wants everybody to be clear. Okay.
This is so not a Boeing.
It's an unidentified flying object. It's a UFO. You go up there. There are round seats and quartz rocks that control everything. And
not
my,
like
my response would be like, so it's like a Southwest flight.
No.
It's not like airplanes.
So it's like a United flight.
She's like, let me be clear. I don't want anyone to think I'm crazy.
Right.
I need to tell you it's not like airplanes.
You don't operate in
Let me make that distinction so you know that I'm not nuts.
Continental flights are used. They use the full navigation system. You don't use quartz rocks to...
Here's some of the more...
You swipe your credit card like left to right on this. It's not anything like an irregular flight where you swipe it right to left.
You know, I think on Land of the Lost, the... live action TV show from the 70s.
I watched it with
my kids. The Sleestaks, I think they had quartz rocks.
Yeah, they did.
So she's borrowing from every piece of media.
Woman is a total hack.
Yeah, she's a total hack.
Back to what Judah wanted to hear. She said the alien beings reminded her of the famous statue in Rio de Janeiro, Christ the Redeemer, with arms outstretched.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's like longer faces.
Why can this woman just see Jesus in a grilled cheese sandwich?
Grilled cheese sandwich.
Maybe a cheesecake factory.
Yeah. Maybe she's trying to say Jesus is an alien.
Yeah. Hey,
that's a much bigger statement.
Here's a monk.
Because now you're fucking with Jesus.
Yeah.
Here's a list of the things she said she found out from the aliens.
Okay. Cannot wait to hear.
There are 30,000 skulls different from humans in a cave in the Mediterranean island of Malta.
Oh, wow, all right. Nice.
The world's energy center is in Africa.
I would have loved to say if she would have said the world's energy center
is New Jersey.
I was going to say, or is in my pants. That's a good pickup line. Or in Judah Friedlander's beard.
The Coral Castle, a limestone tourist attraction in South Miami-Dade, is actually an ancient Egyptian pyramid.
Of course.
This woman wants to hold public office. She wants to govern and lead.
Okay, by the way, this is not a person who was just picked up pushing a shopping cart like 3 miles away from a Costco.
Right.
This is an elected official.
She hasn't been elected yet.
Right, she wants to run for Congress. But she's running in dumb people town. Well, she can run for governor.
Can I say something, too? I know this is going to sound crazy. What she's saying about aliens to me is equivalent to someone saying more guns is the answer. Like whatever she's saying right now about this being a pyramid actually from Egypt has the same validity to me as someone who's like, we need more guns. That's the answer.
Well, she's trying to get the pyramid vote.
That's what you need.
And I actually think that that's an entire scheme.
Yeah, that is this pyramid.
She said the aliens also taught her that God is a universal energy.
Well, that is not so...
No, she's going to get a lot of votes with that. I mean, that's the way many people view God.
There was a part when I was putting this together after seeing your special, Judah, that I was like, a lot of these just sound like shit that you could have thrown at the audience.
Yeah.
Look, there's a pyramid in Miami that is one of the Egyptian pyramids. You want to argue with me? Yeah. Argue with me about it.
Yeah.
She also said that the aliens had mentioned ISIS, though she didn't clarify if they met the terrorist organization or the ancient Egyptian goddess.
Oh, ISIS. Or maybe they were saying ICES, like, you know, like a almost like a Slurpee, a slushy.
Oh, yeah.
I need an icy.
I love those.
Those aren't good.
The Miami Herald asked her about her experiences Friday. She responded with a statement that waxed astronomical, but sadly failed to mention close encounters of any kind. Somebody pulled her aside and was like,
You gotta stop. Woman, stop.
Right. For years, this is what she said, people, including presidents like Ronald Reagan and Jimmy Carter and astronauts, have publicly claimed to have seen unidentified flying objects. And scientists like Stephen Hawking and institutions like the Vatican have stated there are billions of galaxies in the universe and we are probably not alone.
Fine. Yeah. That's a statement you can make.
But they never talked about being abducted.
Right. Or going aboard. Yeah. It's like... Yeah, you just listed things that are true that are not directly related to what you said happened. Really?
I met an astronaut once.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah. It was a really weird night.
Did you date her?
No, it was a guy. I think it's Henry Chow or Leroy Chow. Okay. I forget. And he's the best business card because it just says astronaut.
That's really?
Yeah, he used to be the commander of the space station.
What?
So I got invited to this. I went to a screen. There's a director, very good director, Bennett Miller.
Yeah, Jordan Rubin's cousin who did Capote. He also did The Cruise, which was an amazing documentary about Steve the Speed Levitt.
Right. So I actually just ran into him on the street in New York.
Steve the Speed Levitt?
Yeah.
No way.
So, yeah.
Still crazy?
It's exactly the same. Yeah. Yeah. So so I went to Bennett was having a. His movie The Cruise had already been out and he was having just like a little screening at it, I think Angelica in New York. So then he goes, hey, I'm having this little get together afterwards. He goes, you're going to want to come. It's going to be cool. So I go there. It's some little bar restaurant in the West Village. Jay-Z is there.
What?
Two of the guys from Coldplay.
Yeah.
Michael Stipe, Courtney Love.
What?
This cinematographer, I'm forgetting his name, cinematographer from The Piano, and then this astronaut.
And you.
And me.
That's right.
So me and not the lead singer of Coldplay, but one of the other guys, we spent the whole time just talking to the astronaut.
Oh, I asked him every question under the sun.
Yeah, because I remember saying to him, I'm like, you're the only astronaut I've ever met. And then I go to the guy from Coldplay, and you're the only person I've ever met who's also met an astronaut. You know? So I asked him. I asked the astronaut. I'm like, have you ever seen a UFO or something? You didn't know what it. And immediately he's like, yes, there were things I saw out there that I had just no idea what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's not a planet, it's not a star. So maybe this woman is right. I don't know why we're coming down on her so hard.
Because you don't say it.
Yeah, you think it. No, I'm going to endorse her.
I think.
Don't.
I think she could win, but I.
Oh, she could definitely win.
Yeah. She's a dreamer. Yeah. But, oh, wait, we hate dreamers. Well, I'm sorry.
The.
We being Republicans.
I just got that. Yeah, the whole being on board and
that's where Judah draws the line. I love that's where he draws the line. He's like, look, you can see it. I just don't tell me you were on board. Don't tell me about round chairs and quartz control.
The owner part of her too was like, I gotta halfway through telling all this crazy shit about skulls and all this stuff. She's like, I gotta get my base back. They mentioned ISIS.
Yeah,
yeah, you gotta bring ISIS.
Terrorist
in.
Group. I don't know. Not too sure about that. I just we're guys, gonna stamp it's that still, out. It's out there.
Good.
My Miami attorney Rick Yeber, a frequent political commentator in Spanish language media, said Friday night that Rodriguez's account could hurt her congressional campaign. No shit.
Really?
Yeah. You think so?
Being a politician to come out and say that, it's odd. She got into details that are not very mainstream. Someone who's running for Congress.
On board. See, it's like, I got on board the ship, now get on board with my agenda.
Oh, I like that. Thank that you. Should be go. Her. Yeah.
Yeah, if I can get on board with aliens, you can get on board with me getting agenda. On board with aliens.
That's right. Someone who's running for Congress, you've got to raise a lot of money. A donor might have second thoughts.
Yeah.
Not in dumb people town. Nope. In dumb people town, they're lining up.
In Florida. It's Florida. I mean, this is Florida. Right. I would give her more credit if she was running for something in Pensacola, maybe. But I think she's, you know, Miami is more
this
of
is
an
Miami.
This is Miami.
Yeah. This, we'll get out of here on this. This is Rick Yeber said, Miami politics are unusual.
Yeah.
This one takes it to a new level.
Yeah, it's space.
I love that he had to get I love that he had to get a dig on Miami politics.
Yeah,
yeah.
Look,
Miami politics suck. All right, there's a lot of crazy people there, but this woman.
To me, if she can get the endorsement of the Miami Sound Machine, I'm just saying.
At least
Gloria Estefan and maybe three of the bongo players.
Is the woman of Cuban heritage?
It doesn't say.
Probably.
Yeah.
Cubans tend to Cuban Americans tend to lean Republican.
Yeah. And believe in aliens.
And believe in
aliens.
Yeah. All right. She boarded the ship.
She boarded up. So we have a brand new political member in Dumb People Town.
There you go.
Yeah.
Welcome.
She's there. All right. One story down. We got Judah Friedlander here. He's got a brand new special on Netflix. Watch it. Comment on it. Give it 5 stars. You should.
America is the greatest country in the United States.
Right? Remember that. All right. We'll talk a little bit more about it on the way back after this break. Stay with us.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. As we mentioned, we got Judah Friedlander here, and we are loving this special so much on Netflix. It's so worth watching. It feels, I mean, I'm a comedian, and I will say there are moments where I definitely know you were doing stuff off the cuff because there are very specific moments in there. And then there were moments where I felt like you people lead you into areas where you had like a 9-minute bit about Canada and self-esteem, and I feel like that bit had
For someone to say I'm from Canada, and then you had that great reaction to it, but then that opened the door to all this whole room of material that you have on Canada.
It wasn't really waiting for them to talk about Canada. It was just, you know, when I do shows sometimes and I'm doing crowd work, I don't know what people are going to say.
Of course, right?
And then sometimes they'll say something that I've done bits on before. So that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah.
So with the Canada bit, it's initially that bit started with, that one was actually initially with a joke. Because I remember going to, you know, doing shows up in Canada.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's so weird because it's so similar to the U.S., yet it's so different.
Different.
To me, it reminds me of the United States in the 1970s.
They're playing a lot of Rush.
Yeah.
There's a lot of open spaces on the road.
But it's just so different. And and their psyche and mentality of the country is so different.
Totally.
Than
yes, totally.
You know, we're, and I do a joke about it, like we're like the popular kids, and they're like the new kids at school that nobody's paying attention to and nobody cares about.
That's the new kid at school that just got to school but who's been there for like 3 years.
Right. Yeah. But it's like they, you know, they do so many things better than us.
Oh, yeah.
Yet we're the popular country. So that bit, like what you're asking about, like in this special, you know, some of the stuff with the audience interaction that I have is completely off the cuff and it happened, you know, that night.
In that moment. We could tell for sure. Yeah.
And then there are some bits, because I also talk about me becoming the next president, my presidential platform.
I thought that was such a great way to open it up and make it like a town hall meeting. Right.
So that's what I kind of do, where like I ask the crowd, ask me any questions about my presidential platform, and I do kind of like a mock town hall. And
you have the policies in your brain. You're like, I know these things
that
I'm going
to. There's a bit in the special about healthcare that I talk about. So that joke initially was, you know, me just going up there. I don't have any jokes about healthcare. Someone yells out healthcare, and then I come up with a joke on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the initial one was someone yells out healthcare, and I say, we don't need it. We're Americans. We're strong. So that question over the next month, let's say, gets asked maybe 7 more times.
Mm-hmm.
And then each time I just kind of add on to it and build, not off stage, but on stage.
Right.
And then after a while, you know, I've got a 5-minute bit on healthcare.
I mean, what an unbelievable way to write that special.
Yeah. So I've always done that because my act has always been very, it's been very joke heavy, you know, a lot of one-liners, and then a lot of like a one-liner and then maybe 3 or 4 tags off of that one-liner.
That's right.
And I've always been very crowd work heavy too. So some of these bits are, like you said, completely off the cuff. And then some of them were created off the cuff over a period of time.
And then nurtured and developed.
And then when I'm doing a show, I don't even know if I'm going to do that bit because someone may not bring it up.
That's right. It's
and
great.
Then,
it keeps it alive
for
you.
And then sometimes I just, you know, change it a little bit or add new things. And, you know, I mean, that's where I'm at kind of right now because I'm still doing, you know, I'll still talk about my presidential platform in my show. But since the special's out, those same subjects are going to be coming up again. Healthcare.
Oh sure. Yeah.
But I'm working now on new healthcare bits.
Sure, yeah. That's right.
You know,
that's right.
That is so interesting. And I can imagine. I would imagine I'm hoping this is an international success on Netflix. And
yeah, me too.
I think this is something you could go tour Australia with.
Yeah.
I think this is something you could go to other countries.
Yeah, that's like the broadest appeal. Like when you break down the country, was it like Finland, Denmark, and you like say that personality type of like each
it
one
was
so good.
So well, to me, it reminded me in the best possible way, but of a different kind of version
of
Russell Peters.
Russell
Peters is someone who can go to any country around the world, and he kind of gets into their local dialect and the way people talk.
Right.
You're someone who can go to every country in the world and kind of define them and then define where you came from in a way that will make them laugh.
But also from the perspective of the big, kind of the big, dumb American who lumbers in and just kind of like knocks shit over.
I satirize
That's right.
The confident dumb American.
To me, that's why it's brilliant in the Kuwait Colbert's character from the Colbert Report.
Right, it's basically satire.
Satire. Yeah. And if you get it...
And yet, I bet there'll be people who don't get
this. That's what I said.
They'll fucking love it and be like, yeah, man, this is what we are.
USA!
I just did an interview earlier today, and they're like... So they asked me, so why did you call this special America's the Greatest Country in the United States?
Like, you're like, this interview is over.
Like, they just,
understand.
They didn't get it at all.
No.
Not at all.
Not even at least.
I had to break it down.
Yeah.
So they actually said, why didn't you call it America's the Greatest Country in the World?
You're like,
because that's not funny.
Okay. This is why you do what you do, and this is why I do what I do. And this is why we do what we do. Dan, do we have another story?
We do.
Let's do it.
This was sent in by Christopher Patton at Chris for Hire, exactly like it sounds.
Nice.
Some might call it community policing 2.0 or simply letting a wanted man feed off the crowd how Redford Township Police got Michael Zadel into custody.
Is this like the Jeremy Piven show?
Mm-hmm.
Which he just got nailed for.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, let's stick with fun then.
Okay.
The officers used Facebook and called on virtual friends
this
to land.
This is the crowd. Power of the crowd.
Wait, say that again. What happened?
The officers used Facebook and called on virtual friends to land Zadel, a 21-year-old man who had several outstanding misdemeanor warrants.
There you go.
Zadel goaded police with antagonizing comments on the department's Facebook page under his pen name. Ready for this?
What's his pen name? What is he? This is how he sees himself.
Champagne Torino.
Stop.
Shut the hell up.
Stop it.
Not a bad name, actually.
Champagne Torino.
Gran Torino is easily one of the worst movies that's ever been made.
Really?
The
what was
worst.
Gran Torino?
Gran Torino was...
Racist Clint Eastwood with people who aren't actors.
Racist with Clint Eastwood, like, trying to, like, like, an old guy can intimidate a bunch of young Asian thugs.
Yeah.
Talk like black people.
It was... There must have been, at minimum, 30 different racial Asian slurs just Asian people.
Yes.
And I can't remember, were there any Jewish... I don't think they're, I
think he stayed away from that.
Because of like Hollywood or something.
But what was crazy about it to me is it's like, you know, you watch like a Nancy Myers film, and a Nancy Myers film is basically like a 63-year-old woman's fantasy.
Right.
She's like, the guy is going to get with a younger woman and realize she's dumb, and all I want to do is be with the woman who's my age. That's what a 63-year-old woman wants to see. That's wish fulfillment on the film. This was old guy like porn. Old guy porn.
Old guy porn.
Where it's like,
can't jerk off anymore.
You're going to try and bully me, you dumb, stupid Asians?
I'm going to take my finger and pretend it's a gun and get you off my lawn.
No. Here's how it works out. Old guy takes finger, tries to get her a lawn. Asian young kids laugh at him with a hip-hop accent and then kick the shit out of
him. That's right. Break that finger off.
But that was like a shocking amount.
Shocking amount of
racism. Just horrible.
Yeah. And sometimes they were going for laughs. And I think they were making up new racial slurs.
Yes.
I mean, there's stuff I never even heard
of
really
before. It really gave a lot to the racist community.
I was like,
they added to the racial iceberg.
Yeah. That is crazy.
Thank you for adding it.
Champagne Torino.
Champagne Torino. For example, Champagne Torino wrote, so the cops like posted as a lot of police stations or whatever.
Yeah, now they're starting to do this.
They do stuff where they're like, say, hey, we're looking for this type of person. We had a rash of brigands. They did like a home invasion post, and he just wrote underneath their post, you guys suck. This is Champagne Torino is like seeking them out. That didn't even have anything to do with him.
By the way, who goes on these things to say you guys suck?
Champagne Torino.
Champagne Torino.
Dummy. Dummy.
He also allegedly wrote veiled threats to officers and residents. So police threatened to block him from their Facebook page.
Yeah.
They wrote, this is quote, Michael, given your veiled threats to residents and officers on other threads and your inability to engage in constructive dialogue on this page.
They're trying so hard.
This is your one warning. If it continues, you'll be blocked. They're like talking to him like a
like he's
kid.
A rational But
yeah, kid.
Yeah.
Like a kid.
By
that
block,
you can reason
they mean like batoned in the back of the head, like for an hour, right?
Later.
It's a police block.
Yeah.
Later on Friday, Champagne Torino challenged police in a private Facebook message, which means he started sliding into their DMs.
Right?
Jesus.
Oh. He told them that if their next post received 1,000 shares, he would come turn himself in because he's got outstanding warrants.
Oh, good.
He said he would also bring in a dozen donuts to the station and pick up litter around public schools. schools.
Now I'm starting to like the guy.
Redford police obliged and made his private message public. This is what he wrote to the cops in a DM. Yeah, I'm not worried about it. If your next post gets 1,000 shares, I'll turn myself in along with 12 donuts, and that's a promise. And I'll pick up every piece of litter around all your public schools. Let's see if you can get those shares. He lives in this town, but he's saying it's your public schools, which means he doesn't feel like any of those
schools
are
his public schools. It also means he probably shouldn't be within 500 yards of those public schools.
Yeah, that sounds like a pedophile ploy
to get close to a school.
Like, I'll pick up the trash near all the schools.
I'm just cleaning,
man. No one said there was a lot of trash near the schools.
I'm just a red dot on a map picking up garbage.
Oh, so you don't want me to pick up the trash near the schools? You want trash to be all around the schools?
Actually, yes.
By the way, we don't have a huge trash problem.
Okay, fine. We'll just let it blow around the kids.
There's your question. Are you the person who also put the trash around these schools?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe, but it needs to get picked up.
Trash,
I know that's
trash.
Can I talk to you over here? Because school's about to let out. I want to talk to you over here.
No.
Why can't we stay
still
right
picking
here?
Stuff up?
Yeah.
So they screenshot his challenge he put to them in a DM, and they wrote, "Challenge accepted." And now, remember how I told you earlier they were like, "Michael, this needs to stop." Like, they were doing that thing that teachers do. Like,
yeah,
where they,
Michael.
This happened to me where I like would turn in a paper and they would write, "What were you going for here, Dan?" And by writing my name, it was just
that somehow makes it worse.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrible.
The extra name
is like I got the message.
Right.
It's my paper.
My name is like 3 inches away. Yeah. I know my name.
Like, if someone looks at you, he's like, "Did you understand what I meant, Judah?"
Yeah,
you're like, "Fuck you."
No. What do I say is the worst thing that ever my wife can say to me ever.
Yeah.
Do you get the email?
Do you get the emails? Because you do get them.
I get them. Okay? I choose not to read them.
So remember when they were mad at him and said, "We're going to block you there." It's like, "Michael, you need to stop talking to people like this." Well, now he said, I'm going to come turn myself in. Serious. So this is how they're now talking about him. Mr. Champagne Torino. They have now leaned in.
There's
on
his name. Yeah.
Mr. Champagne Torino has issued
the
RTPD a challenge. As you see below, if we can have this post shared 1,000 times, he will turn himself in on his existing warrants, clean up blight on public school property, and bring us 12 donuts. Then they wrote donuts again with 4 exclamation points.
Because they're cops.
Donuts.
I like how you use the word blight.
I know. I do too.
Blight.
It's almost like he's trying to out vocabulary him. And
he's like, he won't know what blight is. Right. He'll have to look up blight.
He's going to have to look up blight. He's going to be worried by it and be like, "What does this mean?" And then have to look it up.
These cops are trying to be comics. Then they say, "He promised us donuts. You know how much we love donuts."
There
okay,
you go.
All right, all right. Yeah, step back. It's the worst. And you probably had to edit some of these out where, like, when you do crowd work and the person, they want to be funny too. And you're like, just answer the question.
It rarely happens, but that's always one of the sadder and lamer things.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's
you
like,
want
just,
them.
Let's just talk.
Up. It's right, because it's for them that you want them to stop.
Right, right. And also, even if you're not going to do a joke on it, you still want to have a real conversation.
Yes.
Right. You know.
Yeah, because you've opened it up now in such a real way.
Right. So
I think that there's a moment, I think, in the special where I think you ask somebody how old they are, and they're like above 20s or something.
That was so funny.
And you're like above, I can't remember what it was.
The guy asked me.
It was so general.
The guy asked me about the drinking age. It's probably what I'm doing about the drinking age. And then I go, "How old are you?"
Above 20.
And he doesn't say anything. Yeah. And then I go, "How old are you?" And he goes, "Old enough." And I go, "How old are you?" And he goes, 28. And then I go, "I'm raising it to 29.
It was that moment. You're like, just answer.
Just get it out so I can do this joke.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to be funny.
No.
He was just trying to be cool and tough.
You don't have to hold out information here.
Yeah.
Where are you from? West Germany. You forgot the town?
Right.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
They're now asking the town, "Help us win the challenge from Mr. Champagne Torino." Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Champagne Torino to me sounds like Chance the Rapper's side project.
Champagne
I'm starting to think it's a great name.
Yeah.
Because I keep thinking of some...
I'm thinking of the Oasis
character.
Or I'm thinking of the Oasis song, Champagne Supernova. Now I'm like into that.
Champagne Torino.
"Help us win this challenge." They tried to do it again and they failed, Judah. "Help us win this challenge and clean up blight," but they spelled it BLGHT.
Oh,
they got a little too far out over their skis.
If this was Instagram, you could go back in and edit it.
It's
just saying.
It's easy as a share of this post. As of Monday. They're post-head. Wait, I'm going to ask you guys.
Okay,
don't
get to
do
guess.
Not doubt me.
Damn! This is my favorite because we all get to guess
shares
how many shares.
Do you think?
So we needed 1,000 to get the donut.
I'm going
to
guess 567.
567 from Judah.
I'm going to guess 270.
270? So you're saying they failed.
Failed.
I'm going to guess 798.
798.
And they're really trying to get all their friends to share it anymore. Some more.
As of late Monday, the question is, how many shares did their post get? 1,000. And he would bring them donuts and turn himself in and clean up blight. The shares totaled 4,453. Judah is our closest.
No,
I am. Fine.
I said 560.
Randy
oh,
said
I thought,
me. I said
oh,
7.
Oh, I thought you said 5,000.
Yeah. No.
798.
Wait. So did he turn himself in?
On Monday, the alleged misdemeanor turned himself in.
Good.
This
good
evening.
He followed through.
They sent it out of the post. This evening at approximately 6:30 p.m., Michael Zadel, Champagne Torino, made good on his promise to turn himself in for outstanding warrants. He walked in on his own, and not only did he bring the donuts, he brought one bagel. I don't know why that matters.
For the Jewish guy.
We would like to express our gratitude for the support of all who followed this, shared it, and left us positive feedback. Here's a picture of him. With either some cop or just like pissed off stepdad walking behind him.
Oh my God.
He's got a bag of donuts.
What an idiot.
He kind of wanted to turn himself in.
By the way, if you want to see this picture, go to the Facebook, Dumb People Town Facebook page, join it, join the community, become a townie.
Yep. Zadel will have a hearing Tuesday morning in the 17th District Court. Gotta love a man of his word, wrote Kirsten Gregory Fiscus on the Facebook page.
I do love a man of his word.
Hopefully he'll take a lesson from all this and turn his behavior around so as to avoid further interactions.
You gotta give him some positive feedback.
You gotta give him positive feedback because if you're a cop and he agreed to do this and agreed to come in and
what a great turnaround. You had him making threats and they said, stop, or we're gonna block you. And so he's like, fine.
I challenge you.
We went from a guy making threats to a dude walking on his own volition with donuts.
He's like Alexander Hamilton. He accepted the challenge.
He did spit on every single one of those donuts. We know that.
He probably poisoned.
Yeah,
he
you know, and he did that. Yeah, you know, like, let's not give him too much credit.
Rat poison in every single one.
Let's not give him too much credit.
Yeah,
all right?
Don't eat those donuts.
Don't eat the donuts.
Guys.
Listen, man, I love it. There you go. Story two. Down in the books. We have one more story after we come out of the
break. Can you tease it, Dan? What do we got in the last story?
It's one of the dumbest citations I've ever seen anybody get in Dumb People Town.
Thank God we have Judah Friedlander here to help break it down with us. We'll be back with more Dumb People Town right after this.
Stick around, make a sound, there's more Dumb People Town.
All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Judah Friedlander on the show. He's a great follow on Twitter. You are?
At Judah World Champ.
At Judah World Champ. Follow him on that.
Follow Chuck. Daniel Van Kirk. He's a great follow on Twitter and Instagram as well. Are you on the gram too?
Yeah, Judah World Champ.
World Champ on the gram.
I wanted
follow
to
him up.
Tell you about the special before we get into the last story really quick. I love the way you produced it. Like the saying of like, you know, set over a couple of nights and then you had like those great little segues of like different night. Like there's an Israel joke and then you cut to a thing that says same. I won't say anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But then it says like same situation, different night, and you come back to that. It just felt so organic. Kinda,
you organized it in the way that you're like, this is how I want to present this.
Yeah, I filmed this over many different nights, and when it came time for the editing, it was very important to make it not feel like just a bunch of clips, you know, that really when I initially made it, I made it as a movie, a stand-up performance film.
Yeah.
It's 84 minutes, and then you know, after I finished it, you know, shopping around, got the deal with Netflix. And so initially in one of the opening credits, it says a film by Judah Friedlander.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They said, you have to cut that out. It has to say a Netflix original. I'm like, okay, but it is
a film
and I did make it.
Right. Yeah.
So they're like, well, you can put directed by at the end, but you can't, you know. So anyways, it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So, but it's basically...
You could see that that's what you know,
but
did.
But it's basically a stand-up performance film.
I loved it, man.
And it's, you know, it's not meant to, it doesn't occur over one night. It's not meant to occur over. It's more of a collage, you know.
Well, but by the way, in doing that, and you know, Bamford did that so well in her special. I don't know if you saw her special, just in terms of different locations and different places and different sizes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But that's a different vibe.
Totally different. Yeah. But what I loved about it is I was like, oh, I haven't really seen that before.
Right.
And this is a subtle version of, it just is subtly different.
I wanted this
really nice and subtly different.
Yeah, I view stand-up as a very simple art form. You know, it's really, there's a stage, if there even is a stage, microphone, you talk,
and people, you get the response.
And people listen.
Right.
You know, and that's really it. You know, it's very simple. So I was like, I want to film this in a very simple way. I want it to just feel like you're sitting, and you know, I think a lot of comedy specials are overproduced, and especially in the era that we live in, you know, you look at the, you know, who's in office and the politicians, and just have the news. It's all
grandiose.
You watch the news, it's
all over the place.
And I'm like, let's bring it down. Let's do the opposite of that. You know, so
it felt like that, like a lo-fi,
I went for
version.
A lo-fi, just like low-budget documentary style. I wanted it to look like, you know, more like a Sex Pistols video from the 70s as opposed to a comedy special.
It did, and I'm glad you picked the Comedy Cellar. That was the perfect location for that.
I wanted it to be as real as possible, and I'm like, well, if I'm not touring, I'm in New York. The Cellar's the place I work at the most. Let's just do it there.
I love that. Yeah. I love that, and it just, I'm encouraging everyone to go check it out. Everyone who listens to this damn
please
thing.
Please, do it.
All right, Dan, we have one more story?
Sent in by Crispin Cott at Stuperfly.
I love this guy so much from Brooklyn. He lives in Brooklyn. Great dude. Do you know him?
I don't
Crispin
know if
Cott,
I know.
Just
great comedy
great
fan.
Comedy
he's brought
fan.
You, he brought you
he's
records.
Brought me great vinyl through the years. Just a sweet, sweet guy. Right? I love him.
Sorry for saying this wrong, my friend. Taufik? T-A-O-U-F-I-K. Taufik Mawala may have just been letting the rhythm move him.
By the way, Mawala is my kid's favorite animated movie.
Oh, cool.
And the guy who did all the music for Hamilton. Mm-hmm. The guy who did all the music for Hamilton.
You mean Hamilton?
Okay.
But that didn't stop Montreal police from giving the 38-year-old father a ticket after pulling him over near his home in Saint-Laurent.
Oh, Saint-Laurent.
Moala says he was in his car singing along to his favorite song.
Which would be what?
CNC Music Factory's 90s dance classic, Gonna Make You Sweat, parentheses, Everybody Dance Now.
Everybody dance.
Remember the controversy around that is that they showed the hot woman in the video, and really it was a different woman who sang the song.
It was a heavy woman.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
A heavy woman. They had the hot woman.
Yeah. Faith Evans?
I don't know if it was Faith Evans. It was someone who, I think it was NeNe Leakes.
Yeah.
He could be wrong.
And I found out about that on WikiLeaks.
Yeah, you did?
He was singing along to his favorite song, CNC Music Factory's Everybody Dance Now, a.k.a. Gonna Make You Sweat, in late September when he suddenly saw police lights behind him.
By the way, that is, to me, a really funny cop. Being like, you can't do that.
Yep. He was pulled over on St. Croix Avenue and four Montreal police officers came up to look into his car.
This is a song from the 90s.
They asked him what was happening, and Moala said nothing. Then the officer asked him.
He said nothing, bitch.
But let's be clear with
what
he said.
Enough.
Nothing, bitch.
Did you scream loudly? He replied, no, I was just listening to my favorite song. He then repeated, everybody dance now, Moala. Then I said, everybody dance now. Yeah. A few minutes later, Moala says police handed him a ticket for screaming in public.
What?
Yes.
Now, when we were in Montreal, and I know you've been to the Montreal Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
There's a moment we were like outside eating somewhere, and it was like five.
Rush hour traffic.
Rush hour traffic, no honking. Not one person. I think it's really quiet.
Well, they do not like you singing CNC either.
I don't.
He said he understood
police.
He's just
a squirrel trying to get a nut to move his butt.
He said he understood police wanting to check what was happening in the car, but he was really upset by the magnitude of the fine.
This is a shitty thing.
If they found that everything was okay and there was no danger, they should have told me to continue on my way, but not a fine, he said.
Yeah, a fine is ridiculous.
I was singing loudly in the car. Is there something that forbids that, or did I really bother anyone? Moala said he contested the ticket early October, and he's now waiting to hear back on the status of his case.
He better win.
I'm going to ask you guys,
how much was
his ticket?
We're talking
if you had
Canadian money?
It's in U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars. He's singing to CNC Music Factory in his car.
$135
from Judah Friedlander.
This is Canadian dollars?
No, it's American dollars.
No, American dollars.
$85.
$85.
I mean, anything over a dollar to me is way too much for something.
I think it's going to be $235. Ooh, I think they're really going to ding him on this.
Okay.
I think you made the right call.
Thanks. Public yelling? Public yelling.
So Judah has $135.
$85. I say $235.
Everybody feel free to play along at home or in your car.
Yell it out in your office.
The ticket for singing CNC Music Factory is going to make you sweat. Everybody dance now.
Is
$149.
Oh, Judah.
Judah.
world champ.
Boom, boom, not the boom. World champ for nothing.
Oh my God,
that is ridiculous. Because I don't consider that guy dumb. I mean, although
no, the cops the song giving him is this
dumb.
Ticket
the
is dumb.
The song is dumb.
Oh, had
song.
He chosen something from Salt and Pepper, something from
a little.
I don't know. Shoop. I'm gonna make you shoop.
Little Gordon Lightfoot. Don't go chase. He would not have gotten a ticket.
Yeah, yeah. If you're
maybe him, it wasn't a Canadian band, and so
what
they
if
were...
he was singing the Canadian "We Are the World"? Tears Are Not Enough. Remember that song?
Yeah. If it was a Rush song,
Rush Triumph,
he would not have gotten
Glass
a ticket.
Tiger. Don't forget me if I'm gone. Anything by Bryan Adams? Not
yeah,
Bryan
you're not. They suddenly you're not. Care. Okay, so suddenly, so his choice of music.
Yeah.
I just think the cops are dumb. You shouldn't.
Wait,
be
wait. Was he a? Were the kids in the car with him?
No.
They said father,
father of two.
Was he speeding?
No.
So father of two, why that detail was put in there to show
wish,
that he's responsible enough to raise people.
I listeners could see Judah shaking his shaking head disapprovingly. His head.
This is why you hate Canada. This is why you hate Canada.
That's why I hate some cops.
Yeah.
That's just cops being dicks.
Four
man.
Cops walk up to his car.
Took four to come
cops.
Up.
Yeah. Ask that, him if he was
that
in trouble.
Intimidation bullshit.
Did I mean, you scream? Is... He goes, no, I was singing my favorite song. They're like, all right.
But
I'm
by the way,
write this up.
What? Who cares if he screamed?
Right.
Why is that against the law?
I don't know.
In Montreal?
Like, were they stopping him because they were worried for his safety and something happened?
Yeah.
It's like,
are you all right? Now, if they approached the car and said, "Hey, man, are you all right? We saw that. We heard.
They didn't
got
do
it reported that you screamed. Are you okay? Yeah, I was just singing CNC Music Factory. Done. Great.
Yeah.
If I'm a cop and I'm being funny, I'm like, shitty choice of music. Maybe change that. We'll give you a warning. Like, if you're joking around, I'd be like, we'll give you a warning. Next time you start singing CNC Music Factory Online, we're going to give you
let
a ticket.
Me also,
and that's why you're not a cop.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I have a sense of humor about
let
that.
Let me also say no one was shot and killed. So before we say go too
they're
far.
They're just being dicks.
They're just being dicks. This
is this one of those things where you guys would be like, I would pay in pennies.
Oh, yeah. Oh. No, they're going to get 100.
I write a check and wipe it through my asshole.
They're going to get $149 worth of pennies in a loose, like,
just
D'Agostino's bag.
Yeah.
And then just be like, and then I just throw it out there.
Throw
be,
it
there
all on
go.
The ground. Be like, here's your money,
there
dummies.
There you go. Enjoy it. Pick it up.
I mean, yeah.
It's all
throw
there.
It on the floor. There
it's
it
all
is.
There. God, I'd be it. Mad at that.
I mean, that's the.
104. You're trying to get two kids. You got enough things
but
to try.
But four cops. That's what.
Four cops.
That's also one of the annoying facts. Four cops.
I thought, what if it was Billy Ocean's "Get Out of My
Get Out of My Dreams and
Get
Into
My
Car"? They took it literally.
To me, I always felt like that seemed a little too aggressive. Right. Really telling a woman,
also, it's
get out of here and get into here.
If it really is a dream, like just dream that.
Yeah,
that she's dream in your car.
Dream that she gets into your car.
Yeah, man.
Like
keep
that
it in the
should
dream.
Be the dream.
Yes,
is what you're saying.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
I mean, to me, and maybe it's because
that's
he
kind
didn't
of
really
on you. If she's not in the car, it's your dream.
But maybe it's because he doesn't speak English that well. But like, so he just didn't have to be that aggressive. Like he could have just said, "Hey, I wish you weren't in my dreams. I wish you were right now in my car with me."
If the cops are like, "I'm going to write you a ticket," that's the point. I drive away. I may just
resist arrest.
Come get me. Come get me. For this. You this is worth it?
Yeah.
Now that's when things will.
That's really
so
bad.
I would say once they're writing that ticket, I go, so you're giving me a ticket. Like I'm already in violation of this loud screaming thing. Yep. I'd be like, cool. And I would start singing that song.
Turn it up.
Work
you,
me
have
all
you got
night.
A ticket with your van?
I mean, if that happened to me, it's like you just gotta.
You gotta eat it.
Not say anything and just.
Write another bit about
pray
it.
That nothing worse is going to happen.
That's right. Like, that's at that point you pray. You
God.
Say the world is not being fair with me. Right.
I hate that stuff.
That's
me too.
Oh.
You know why I put it? In. I was
because
like, this is so dumb.
I think why you hate it, and I know you. I think well enough to know is because it's a form of bullying. That's what
it
is.
Oh, yeah, and you don't know how bad it's going to get. It's like...
And there is no record. There's no way. That's like the principal bullying you.
There's a few reasons I stopped driving in New York City, and one of them is I started getting pulled over all the time.
Really?
For what? Because of how you looked?
You know, I think their quotas went up.
Yeah.
Because of how I look.
I believe
and
that.
Because of the quotas.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was doing the Schaumburg Improv.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Chicago Improv.
Which is right in the
suburbs
of Chicago.
Let's face it. It's Schaumburg. It's
right.
40 miles outside of Chicago.
That's sure. Right.
But anyway. Anyways, so I decided one day, I'm like, I want to get into the city. I want to get into Chicago. So
yeah.
I rented a car. I got a moving violation. Within an hour, I got a moving violation, and then I got profiled at Walmart and followed to my car
no.
by Walmart security. And it's like, because it's like, I don't... I don't fit in there. You know, it's like I'm like a different kind of white. You know, stand out. I got the long curly hair.
Jerry Garcia did comedy.
You know, and like you know, everyone there is like no one there looks like me. So it's like I was getting profiled everywhere. I'm like, fuck it, yep, staying home, staying in the hotel, yep.
Staying in,
return the car,
staying in.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that stuff.
It's a shame. Ugh. All right, before we get out of here, we got a special guest.
You have one new voice message.
Hi, Randy and Jason, it's me, Adam Driver, and I'm calling you because I'm not quite sure who else I can turn to. I'm very upset over the way my character Kylo Ren is being depicted in the most recent trailers for The Last Jedi. He comes across as being very angry and very temperamental, like he is smashing his helmet against the wall, and I just want you to know that the character is much more layered than that. There is much more to Kylo Ren than just getting angry, and when I see that he is being depicted in that way, it just makes me angry. I get very angry. Like right now, I'm taking a small dog, and I am staring at it very intensely, and I'm taking it to a staring contest, and right now I am winning. I've won 7 times in a row. Here we go. I'm going to start one more time. Here we go. Dog. 1, 2, 3. Go. I won. It looked away. It looks away after only a few seconds. But that's how angry I am. I normally don't even look dogs in the face because I feel that their faces are too long. But I'm just looking for any sort of help. Anyone who can help me to show that my character has more than just being angry and that he's Han Solo's son. I mean, I love Harrison Ford. He was an absolute pleasure to work with. He and I would often have staring contests on set, and guess who would win those? Harrison Ford, because that man can stare at a wall for much longer than I can. In fact, often he and I would, instead of having staring contests, he and I would just take turns staring at a wall and seeing how long we could stare at a wall. And he would always beat me. Oh, now I'm getting even more angry. All right, time to challenge the dog to another staring contest. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. He made it 4 seconds that time. Okay, please help me in any way. I must change the image of my character, Kylo Ren. Thank you.
All right, that's the show. Thank you to Judah Friedlander for joining us. Please, please watch his special on Netflix. I'm only begging you because I want you to thank me for...
Yeah, thank us after you watch it for how great it is and what a unique comedy experience it is. And I'm so happy for you, so proud of you and psyched for you, buddy.
Thanks so much. Well, much love to you guys. And
You're welcome in Dumb People Town. We won't profile you in Dumb People Town anytime.
Well, I do some dumb things.
Well, then you're definitely welcome.
Then welcome.
So do we.
You can be the deputy mayor. Yeah. That's good. Guys, come see us live when we do it. We have a bunch of performances coming up. If you're in Houston on October 18th, 17th,
November. 18th, November.
Excuse me, November 17th, 18th. If you're in San Francisco on January 21st at 3 p.m. at Cobb's Comedy Club, we're doing it then as part of Sketchfest. And then we're doing it at the Bell House in New York City.
Maybe you'll swing by and come see us
in Brooklyn on Sunday, February 25th. And we have one show that if it sells out, we're going to add another one. So come check that out. And guys, holy shit, we got to get back to work. Dum, 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 dum